This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Just getting started on a Tuesday, fresh off a holiday weekend. Good to have you guys back with us, of course, on video as well. You can subscribe. YouTube makes it very easy. You don't miss any of the shows when we are live throughout the day on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to trash of the day in about 18 minutes or so, where the U.S. stacks up compared to other countries in one particular category. I'll explain during the trash of the day. But tonight, out at Kauffman Stadium, a familiar face will be on the mound against the Royals. That, of course, is Brady Singer. I know he spoke to the media yesterday as he's in a Reds uniform now. We all know the trade with Jonathan India coming to Kansas City. Singer, and they're both friends and everything in their time at Florida, and now India in KC. And so when you look at that trade, I think it's very obvious that as fans, you say, okay, you swapped players. Who is paying off more? Would you regret it? Would you have made the same move? And I know at times people have been very frustrated with Jonathan India.
He's only hitting .227 this year.
And that's what it is.
Still getting on base.
But what's Brady Singer doing for Cincy?
Last I checked, he had an ERA over 5. So I would guess something in that range.
4.88 ERA.
Had trouble with his command over the last month or so.
4.88 ERA. I think it's interesting because this one's a tougher answer because it's not like the Royals starting pitching has suffered since losing Brady Singer. Chris Bubich has been incredible.
It's actually been better.
It has, the staff.
And not his fault.
No, for sure. They have not missed a beat pitching-wise since losing Singer. And in exchange, they got someone that was supposed to help them offensively, and he obviously hasn't done exactly what you were hoping of. I mean, he's not top five in walks like he was a year ago. You mentioned, I think, last week that he's a little off the pace on his on-base percentage. His batting average is a little off the pace.
But he's not like so far below that it's like he's a completely different player.
No, 15 home runs a year ago, I think it was. He's only got one or two so far this year. So he's just a tick or two below. And then defensively is where some of the frustrations have really come in, I think, for him. But knowing what the pitching staff is, no, I would still make the trade again, Cody. I really would, because I have a pitching staff that is still performing at the level they are. If Chris Bubich would have been bad and Lorenzen would have struggled as well, then I'd be saying, well, you lost Brady Singer and now your pitching staff has gone to you know what. But it hasn't. So their pitching staff has gotten better, and you still got a player that has a chance to help you with over 100 games to go in the season.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, I think, because it's like, can I just win every game 2-1? I don't know how many times you've looked up at the Royal scoreboard this year. It feels like every game.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, if I miss any part of the game, normally I'm watching I catch most of the games. Yeah. But like, let's say I miss a little bit. Where are we at here? All right, let's catch back up. And I'm like, it's 1-1 in the sixth. Every game, it's 1-1 in the sixth. And so pitching is not what their problems was. And in retrospect, considering how much their offense has struggled, I don't want to imagine a world where I don't even have a guy getting on base at a .325 clip. I'm not saying that that's enough. Jonathan India has not provided enough, but you see why the risk was worth it. A couple years control. We were thinking about a guy who got on base at a .350 range in his career. That was a risk worth taking, and a risk I would still take if you forced me, if you just said like, hey, this weekend, you can just reverse it and Brady can just stay the rest of the time and India can go, I wouldn't reverse it. I would just hold the fort, hope that Jonathan India gets those 0.25 up so he's at his career on base percentage, 0.25 up so he's at his career batting average, and I get what I get. What I didn't realize about the defense was this is probably just who he was as a defender a good chunk of the time, Gold, and I didn't know it because he wasn't a player that I watched play the entire time. And I think he's a more limited defensive player than I realized. But also, with all the changes they made recently, this is probably their best defensive lineup all year with Lofton and Rave and Isbell and Bobby and Vinny. This is their best defensive lineup at any point. They can absorb Jonathan India better, I think, than in the earlier parts where they were losing it in Renfrow, or they were losing it in some of these other positions where they were playing a little more out of spot.
Yeah, the thought tonight with Jonathan India leading off, lobby percent. Oh, what, you know, one is, people feel like there's one of two things is happening tonight. Either Brady Singer striking him out three or four times, or Jonathan India is hitting a home run off of Brady Singer. Like, there's no in between here. One of the extremes is happening tonight.
It's such a sick way that thing went down. Because as a reminder, if you guys didn't know the backstory, as you mentioned, they played college together. But according to Brady Singer himself and Jonathan India himself, Brady Singer spent years telling this organization to trade for Jonathan India. Come on, trade for him. He's our guy. We can do this. He's a winner. I know that man. He will play well for us. Get Jonathan India here. And they eventually did what Brady Singer asked for, and they traded for Jonathan India. They just traded him. They traded the guy who was asking them
they needed offensive help. They knew they had good pitching.
For him. Yeah. It's just kind of like a weird story. And it speaks to sports a little bit, right? Because you got to be used to the idea of changing cities, changing teams, finding a new avenue, all this stuff. But it's just kind of like a funky mix. So it'll be interesting to see Brady Singer. And, I like when the teams do the little toss in for you, like, oh, look, here's our video tribute.
I'm sure that'll happen tonight.
They already did it.
Why wouldn't they do it tonight, though?
They might do it tonight, too. I don't know. Or he'll give the, he'll give the little hat tip as he's coming off.
Or maybe they wanted to. I mean, I would do it tonight.
I think you do it on a night where he's not actually carving up, maybe carving up your team or pitching against your team. You do it on the off, the day he's not there.
Yesterday looked like a miserable day to be out of Kauffman Stadium.
Man, what a tough day that would have been to have the crown seats. You get the good seats.
I mean, you can go under and just eat and drink all day, I guess. But yeah. You can't sit out there and enjoy and have people bringing you food the same way.
Yeah, and you don't get to sit, 5 feet from the action, From the 816. I don't even know if that's true. India is statistically the worst defender in baseball. Is that right?
By which metric? There's also somewhat subjective, but are you basing off of which metric are you basing that off of? He hasn't been good though. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to.
I just don't know which metric are you looking at?
I do think that's part of the reason that Michael Massey has been kind of flying under the radar, because I think he's the guy struggling the most who is still in the everyday lineup for the guys that have already, like MJ or Kevin Biggio or Hunter Renfrow, that they've already kind of made decisions on. My guess is that part of the reason is because Michael Massey's a way better defender. He's a good defensive player. And the whole thing comes down, you could accept that Michael Massey's having a bad offensive year because he's a really good defender if the rest of the offense was scoring. I know he would tell you that he's still not hitting well enough for what he expects out of him. There's no doubt about that. Like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat that or anything else, but it's just, man, it's still, he's not the biggest problem. It's the general setup of the offense that's the bigger issue.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we will get to the trash of the day, but over the weekend, there was maybe a little bit of a hint dropped by Aaron Rodgers about what he's going to do. So I guess he was in Austin, Texas. He was doing a couple interviews last week, but he was also attending an event hosted by a friend of his, a rapper called Mike Stud. Anybody ever hear this guy? Anybody? Bueller? I don't know. Mike Stud. All right. He was at an event with him. Okay. He was asked whether he would ever consider playing for the Chicago Bears. And the audio stinks. That's why I'm not going to play it for you. Like, it's just bad quality. But Rodgers quickly said no. But then he said, quote, I believe there is a team that might play in Chicago this year on a road trip. I don't know. Not sure. So everybody's like, oh my gosh, here we go.
Everybody knows the best rappers come out of Duke, by the way.
so is that where Mike Stud?
He went to college. So he was a baseball player. Get out of here.
Mike Stud. So anyway, The Saints play on the road in Chicago this year, and so do the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, of course, everybody said, oh, was this a hint? He's talking about two teams that need quarterbacks, two teams that he could play with. Are we closer? I don't know. We're 100 days or so away from the NFL season. OTAs are underway today in Pittsburgh and most teams in the NFL. I still just think it's wild that the Steelers are willing to just kind of wait and wait. They obviously believe he's going to sign for them. But if not, they'll either go with Mason Rudolph or what, trade for Kirk Cousins. Those are their options right now. Either continue to wait till about June or July, late June, early July, closer to training camp, that Aaron Rodgers will decide to play for you because he hasn't signed a contract yet. Or you'll check in on Kirk Cousins down in Atlanta, or you're going to roll out Mason Rudolph and Will Howard. I mean, deep down, we've gone over this enough that they should reset.
Yeah.
And they should bottom out and get a draft pick for next year and all that kind of stuff. That's just not how Mike Tomlin operates. So my guess is they will go with one of these veterans in addition to what they already have in the QB room when it comes time to make that decision.
How? This is the part that I don't understand. Today, officially today, is 100 days from the start of the NFL season. So we're not that far away, Gold, from the beginning of the NFL year. 100 days. That's it. To get your offense in place, to get your quarterback up to speed, to get him along with your weapons, all the normal stuff. How, as an organization that has done business and operated as well as you have for as long as you have, okay with letting a quarterback 100 days before the season not even pick up the phone and tell you he's for sure coming, man? Instead, he's dropping cryptic nonsense to 10-year-olds with his Duke University rapper buddy. You can't.
Who I guess was a really good college baseball player. If he had not got hurt,
like
people
this.
Are saying he would have been in the majors. He's best friends with Marcus Stroman, I guess.
No, interesting.
So he was a hell of a baseball player. But now he's a rapper. And now he's good friends with Aaron Rodgers.
Mike Studd.
Jeez.
Okay. Sure. But like, they're too good of an organization for too long, in my opinion, to let them say, like, how did you get down this bad? How did you do this? And I guess the other thing comes into this is if this fails with Rodgers, this is the thing that's going to kill Tomlin. If he hangs his hat on this, if he's one of the people who's like fighting for this, pushing for this, he's the guy that he's cool with letting Aaron Rodgers hold them all hostage. If this one goes south, this is finally the losing season, not even the random bad playoff season they've just been going through every year.
Well, they haven't won a playoff game since they beat the Chiefs or whatever.
If this is finally the 7-10 year, then he might finally be on his ass. This might be it for Tomlin.
Well,
I can't believe you're going to risk your whole career on Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think that'd be the worst thing for everybody involved, though. I really don't. Like, if that's what happened, it either results in you keeping him as your head coach and it fails miserably and you get a top 8 pick in the draft, or you have him be mediocre again and they say, all right, we're finally done. Mike Tomlin gets a head coaching job immediately somewhere else, fresh start, fresh regime. And then for a Steelers fan, then you kind of hopefully bottom out, honestly, for a year or so to get a top, you know, flight franchise quarterback or potentially one.
Who's going to be the king of offseason nonsense when he retires, by the way? Who's waiting to take
nobody's
the crown?
Nobody's topping what we did the last couple years of headlines and everything. He's a very unique individual.
In terms of drama, I don't know if anybody's going to. Yeah, I don't know if anybody.
It's going to be tough, man. He's created quite the storm a couple of times through. And then you get like his biggest Jets moment was running out with that flag.
Yeah, well,
and
that was brutal.
Immediately getting
that was
hurt.
Brutal. Yeah, that was brutal. That quickly to have your Achilles injury. I don't know. He was asked more about it. Aaron Rodgers was, and he says he's taking more time. Maybe he's dealing with some family stuff. He said so. Who knows, man? There's no way to predict or guess what is going on in his mind.
There's still a 20% chance he just decides he doesn't want to play football.
For sure,
right?
For sure.
I don't know what you guys would put it at, but there's at least a 20% chance he just decides.
I would agree.
He just wakes up tomorrow, and then he's like, eh.
No, that's always that's the risk they're taking with letting Aaron Rodgers kind of drag this thing out, because he might have told you he wants to play. He might have told you he's leaning that direction. But truly, we're joking, but we're also serious. He truly could walk out of a cave one day in June and decide not to play football anymore. Like that is a real scenario that could happen.
Not even the cave part is hyperbolic.
That's what I'm saying.
That is actually
that's
part
what I'm
of
saying.
The real scenario
yes.
that could occur. He could go spelunking on ayahuasca for 48 hours. And then say he saw Buddha and be like, that's it. He told me. Buddha told me I'm supposed to move to Tibet and he never hear from him again. All of those things are very realistic possibilities.
Everything's on the table still.
Are we sure that this is actually, going back to the football side of things, yeah. real quick, are we sure it's actually going to be the end of Mike Tomlin, though? Like, is it smart?
He can't survive it forever, man.
But I know, but is Nobody it smart can. For the Steelers to? Because I think part of you has to understand the fact that this man has somehow gotten these teams over the last few years to the playoffs. If you if you get him a top 15 quarterback, let alone top 10, what could be the difference? Where I don't know, but if Drew, the way the Steelers have run since their existence, technically, I don't know if one really bad season. I don't know what the worst season Cowher had, but if you go back and you look at, well, if he goes 6-11 and they stink and they can get a top quarterback, I don't know if that's enough for the Steelers to say, you know what, it's worth firing Mike Tomlin over.
It might be one of those old mutually parting ways kind of thing. Yeah,
I think I'm like a firm
with the Patriots
believer
in a way.
And I don't know if you are Gold or Drew is, but
Mike Tomlin's worst season was 8-8.
Do we know? Is that Cowher's too?
No, he probably had a worse one than that. He took over the Steelers and they were struggling a little bit.
Because I wonder if he has one bad season, is that really enough when this man has done way more with way less?
But what I think you're forgetting about, and this is something I actually subscribe to a little bit in the NFL and just in general sports, is sometimes it's better for both parties to change hands. So, for instance, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They fired what is one of the league's best coaches. He's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time. Yeah. They won 2 Super Bowls since he left. The Chiefs have won more, but like the Eagles have also continued to win. Yeah. Sometimes organizations need clean breaks, fresh starts. They got to get out of it. And like with Tomlin, there is no more of a going through the motions organization. We're both just here to be here. Roommate phase of their relationship before a couple gets a divorce situation and in the NFL than that one. Yeah, it's not bad. No, they're not fighting every day, but like it's not working.
Just to answer your question, Drew, Bill Cowher had 2 6-win seasons, 8-win seasons. Remember, he never got fired. Remember, he stepped away. His wife, I think, was battling. Yeah. Unfortunately, had passed away, but it was dealing with medical stuff. So
right,
he never got fired.
It wasn't a 6-10 season that led him to retire.
It was his wife.
But
they were 8-8 that season.
When did he go 6-10 though? That's what I want to know.
Like early or late, he did it multiple times.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is that Mike Tomlin's never done that. So to me, Bill Cowher wasn't fired after 6-10. Are we sure Mike Tomlin's going to get fired after 6-11?
I don't think the team knows that the roster stinks. I'm with you. I don't think he would get fired.
I don't think he would either.
I think he would be in a situation where he'd be like, all right, it's just time for a fresh start somewhere else, kind of thing.
And I think he gets 2 seasons. Let's say they go 6-11.
Yeah.
Somebody on the text line says Cowher had to have a bad year to get Big Ben. I think that's true. If they do go 6-11 and they get a quarterback, I think he has 2 years. And if he doesn't get it done in 2 years, if they're still 8-8 or 9-8, then sorry, man, it's time for you to go.
And we didn't figure it out. Anybody can get fired, even after one bad year. And it took Bill a couple of bad years in a row. But like, essentially, I'd argue the Steelers are in multiple bad years in a row, Drew. They haven't won a playoff game in like a decade.
Yeah, it's like, look, Mike Tomlin, he would be hired. We all agree, right? He'd be hired instantly by a team.
Yeah,
so Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach. But I do think, and I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans actually are in agreement with this now, but we have discussed that he's never had a losing season thing and all these playoff bursts. Like we have held that to way too high of a standard, like acting for being mediocre. Again, he's a hell of a coach, so it's this weird dilemma because we would all hire him immediately, but also this notion of like, you know, he does is win games. Yeah, they haven't won a playoff game though in 8 years. So at some point, like being mediocre, where are you at? Like, obviously it's not Jeff Fisher, 6-10, 7-9 seasons, 8-8 seasons, not at all. But I don't know, man.
If you were to ask, I think if you polled the Bengals, the Ravens and the Browns, they would love Mike Tomlin to be gone. Thank the Lord he's out. Because I think they would be more than happy, all 3 of those teams, to see Mike Tomlin no longer be the coach.
Well, they've perfected the spoiler role, no doubt. They've perfected playing spoiler. They'll get you randomly in week 17 when they're a bad football team.
Happy.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
This comes from a study from the Global Web-Based English Corpus.
The what?
Okay.
I don't know.
Global Web-Based English Corpus, for those following at home.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, the United States is number 1 in the world when it comes to swearing.
Oh.
Uh-huh. They did this to better understand how people might employ naughty words in their written communication. The database spanned 20 countries, over 340,000 websites, contains more than 1.9 billion words. A grand total of 597 vulgarities were singled out. And after all the data was analyzed, it was learned that the United States sets the bar for dirtiest mouths, with Great Britain, Australia, Singapore, and New Zealand and Malaysia, followed by Ireland, trailing shortly behind.
Wow, number one?
We're number one.
We're
swearing.
Number one. Yep. We're number one.
In fairness, there's a whole lot more people in the States than in England.
I mean, they didn't say whether this is per capita or not. This might just be a total.
I would have said Great Britain and Ireland were pretty high on the list as well.
Might be per capita. Like, they might have us beat in a just per person basis. Mm. I just want to say that I contributed in helping us get to this number one standpoint. I definitely have added to those numbers. Hell, at this point, my kids have added to those numbers. And this but they've definitely let a few fly.
And this one mainly scanned websites. So this was stuff on like websites and I'm assuming social media. I don't know. So this was how they tracked it down was based off
on websites.
Too.
Yeah. I'm trying to watch it a little bit more there. I'm not saying I watch it a ton. I'm trying to watch it a little bit more there. Then I do the other ways. It kind of depends on the attitude or the moment.
Singapore and Malaysia. Interesting. Okay.
Should we learn some? What are the FCC rules on like, am I allowed to learn Malaysian swear words?
I don't think so.
Dang.
I don't think so.
Dang. What if it's just like, can we learn the ones that like I can say on here, you know?
Oh.
Like, you know, there are a few curse words we're allowed as a part of a radio operating party.
What, are you going to look up Google Translate?
Yeah.
During the break and come back with a... Someone that said, damn right, we're number one.
Jeez. You know? It's good to be number one sometimes, you know?
I don't think this is something that you want to, you know, you pop your collar, you know, like, look at us.
I you know what?
Look at us.
But this goes back to all those other studies. I remember when I was I was told in my early 20s, now maybe someone's just telling me this because I cussed a lot, this was regularly discussed as a sign of intelligence. People who are smart cuss more. So, like, you know, maybe it just means we're smart. Maybe it just means we're smart. You cuss, Drew. I hear you cuss every once in a while.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that I should. That doesn't mean that I should.
Are people who cuss more?
Yeah, where did you get this?
I'm not walking around claiming I got to hit a quota because I got to make sure that I stay smart.
Someone said every time Cody sings, they add
to
this list for the United States.
Mm. prepare yourself because I might be working on something already. Might as well. What do I have? Summer? I got time? I worked on it more this morning, maybe, but you know, no time.
Might not be around. I don't know.
According to the Cleveland,
when you need that.
They're saying they're having a hard time between correlation and causation at the moment. So that's not a proven study yet, but it has been floated around as a possible theory, is all I'm saying.
That doesn't make any sense.
Do you really like? Here's the one thing. I guess this is also like kind of an interesting part of this, because you said I probably shouldn't. I at no point have taken the amount of cursing I do and thought I should cool it a little. I'm comfortable with the amount that I cuss.
I think there's
like totally fine with the amount of cuss. I've never once thought I should curb it or work on it, other than like when the kids let one fly that they shouldn't. And then mostly it's just about like, hey, be cool. You can't be saying that stuff yet.
Which makes you a little bit older. I'd cuss too if I had a root for the Bengals.
Do you think that you should cuss less, Drew? You want to work on that? Is that what you're...
I'm more aware of when I do cuss, which I think is just there's more things to say. I think that are a whole lot more like that are more funny. Like I could say a random phrase that's way more funny than just saying a cuss word. I've gotten to that point.
They're
in my
filler
life.
Words instead of or So like if I'm saying like a two sentence long instead of like, you know that this, I'm like, you know that one. They're filler words sometimes for me occasionally. It's not great, but they are occasional filler words.
That is the trash.
There's a certain word that I'm thinking. I don't know if it's the same one that you're thinking of as a filler word, but there's one that I definitely think is a good filler.
There's a couple of good ones, depending on the sentence.
We'll find out what that
not
is.
Not allowed to say them. I already cussed once this month. I can't get called down to the principal's office again. I got to limit that until June.
Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Some early over-unders that are out there, and I teased it earlier. I'll tell you why I think Drew is very happy now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Yeah, we'll get to the Chiefs in about 30 seconds. But Drew, you're very happy because during one of the last few breaks,
oh, I am.
On social media, I saw that the new college football video game for this year, last year was the big release again because it had been gone for so long. They announced the cover. You're telling me there's new trailers coming out this week and everything.
Thursday.
I say, like, the excitement was never going to be the same this year as last year because it'd take a 12-year hiatus or whatever it was prior to last year. And I don't know, we might still be doing a tournament. I have no idea. I know at one point it was talked about that again.
We had a ton of fun. I've not played a game since that tournament.
Okay. I
never bought the new system just to play it.
I have, but
I didn't think I was going to play it enough.
I think, Drew, you play it the most by far in the building now.
I played some yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Already.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I probably hopped online and played, I don't know, like, 2.5-3 months ago, one random game, but it sounds like you play weekly. I did, but like Drew's playing every week or multiple times a week.
How were you? This is always the funny thing to me is like Drew got skunked. We played in this tournament.
What happened?
I at least put up some points. The game was tied at half in my game. It wasn't like, I mean, I eventually got wrecked, but like, it wasn't a total no-show.
Yeah, that is true. Like, the expectation, you better go out and win a game or two if we do this tournament again at some point.
I wasn't a coward. I played as a tier 3 or tier 4 team, so let's see.
Well, that wasn't just not a sports decision.
That's
not my fault.
Correct. I think there also is a level to that of I should not have done that. If we do have a tournament, I'll probably play as Wisconsin. The one team though, that I've fallen in love with playing in the game against other teams, Florida. DJ Lagway. I figured things out with Florida.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, again, so we'll anyways. But, can I just request to get the...
Cody wants to be Texas.
I want Xbox, not PlayStation. They put me in the square X, and I threw to the wrong person.
The X button is what would throw me off.
I will choose the number one ranked team in the entire game.
I think we have to have new rules for the if we do the tourney again. I think we need one new rule, and that is, even if it has to be as simple as rock, paper, scissors, you can both not be the same freaking team if you're playing each other. It's just, it's bad. In our championship game, the two guys in the finals both played as Alabama. Sorry, one of you, rock, paper, scissors, SOL. Like, you can't be playing. That's just, it's just ridiculous. I hate that when even like growing up playing with like friends or whatever. You got to be a different team. Seeing Chiefs versus Chiefs or Alabama versus Alabama on a video game is terrible. It just is.
It doesn't look right.
Doesn't look right. It's also not fun. It's just like, what are we doing? So that's a pet peeve of mine, but I think it's a tweak we need if we ever do a tournament again.
Fine, I'll choose the second ranked team if I can't be the first ranked team.
913-586-7965. Someone said, Drew, I would shoot a 90 at the Corn Fairy Madden tournament.
Not that one.
90 at a Corn Fairy Madden tournament at Augusta, right? Mm. Exactly.
Someone said they can't wait to absorb all the conferences as the SEC in the game. No, one of the things that's big is that the deluxe cover, because the
$200 again.
No, it's not that much. It's still $69.99. It's cheaper than your Nintendo Switch games now. Still, anyways,
I don't have a Nintendo Switch 2. Nintendo told me I'm on the back list.
Oh dang!
They sent me the email and said you're not ready to purchase yours yet. We'll tell you.
You're not ready to. Ouch. Okay. Dang.
So I don't think I'll be getting it on the day.
Put you in your place quickly.
You know what? My kid's going to keep asking for it, so maybe I can make it all the way to his birthday in August.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to. They're not letting me buy it for you. It's not my problem.
It's a real easy thing to explain to a six-year-old. But also, so earlier we started the show. I had to go in the middle of the night. I had to take my son to the ER because he was like doubled over in stomach pain and we weren't sure what was going on. And so we took him in. But like, I'm not kidding. They loved him because like, he was looking at he wanted to see his x-rays. He was very excited to see his x-rays. He professed a love of x-rays to the x-ray technician. They're like, to the doctor. And when they showed him his, he was like, that's my spleen. And then he outed me. The doctor was like, are you going to be as big as talking to a little kid, are you going to be as big as your dad? And he was like, well, he's 40. That's what he said. And she's like, is that your right age? I'm like, yes, that's my right age. I don't know why he's so matter of fact about it, but yeah, that's a whole
thing. Well, he knows.
Dang, all right.
He knows.
He's just out here calling out spleens, looking forward to x-rays. It was interesting.
All right, let's talk a little Chiefs here. Chiefs Red Half Hour. Folks over at Arrowhead Pride were trying to figure this out as well, which is, all right, we don't have over-unders for a lot of stuff yet for the football season. We have win totals, right? And there's starting to be some yardage metrics that are out there. But in particular, sacks as a team. I think it's very obvious. Other than truly running back for me, one of my biggest concerns from a skill, from an accounting stat. Left tackle is a number one question, but we're not really doing counting stats for that. Would be the pass rush, and that would be of course sacks. And so where are they at in sacks? So they had 57 in 2023. They had 16 fewer sacks last year than they had in 2023.
And they ranked in the top five 2 years in a row before last year, I do think is kind of, and with very similar talent.
It was the lowest sack total since 2021, last year was, when they only had 31 in 2021. So you think about where the sack number would be. If I told you they had 41 in 24, 41 in 2024 and 57 in 2023, and you split the difference and you say, all right, they're going to have 48, 49 sacks. Would you feel comfortable taking the over or under, knowing that, all right, Chris Jones is back, Aminihou's back for a full season? That's the big swing here. Is Aminihou going to be available all year?
When's the last time he was in his NFL career?
Right.
I do not think that.
If he was, then he could be a 9, 10, 11 sack guy. But he's either had injury or he had his own personal stuff going on that caused him to miss the part of the season.
But I will say the Chris Jones stats are going to go back up. He's not going to have the low number of sacks he had last year. Look at his history. Look at his life.
So I think he's back to a 10-sack guy this year.
Yeah. And so for me, the question is whether or not I can replace the sacks lost by Turk Wharton with Gelati and Norman Lott. That's really what I'm asking myself, is whether or not those 6 sacks that came from him can be made up in the Felix Anudike, Norman Lott, Ashton Gelati triangle. And my answer to that is yes. I'd take the over. I do think that this team will be closer back to the top 10 number of sacks going into it. I'm not saying I'm not afraid of it. It's obviously their least amount of depth, and it requires them getting their draft picks right. Because if they didn't get any of their draft picks right, or at least one of those guys right, well, then they're going to be under that number. Because if Gelati or Norman Lott aren't sack guys, and one is an interior defensive lineman, Well, then they're probably going to have a slightly different issue.
Yeah, I mean, Norman Lott, I think, will play a decent amount. I don't know how much Jelotti's going to play, you know? I mean, we talk about bodies needing to work in.
We just talked about that, like a Minihughs. I mean, is he available? Karloff just played right away. Third round pick versus first?
Yeah.
Felix didn't. So, like, I can give you examples of guys who didn't play.
Yeah, I don't expect, you know, him to have as much of an impact immediately. Karloftis could be playing for a big contract too, which usually bodes very well, as we know, for somebody heading in. So, okay, the Chiefs have also top 50 sacks a couple times during this run as well. I will stay on the defensive side. What about interceptions? Because this is the Trent McDuffie. is there more to come?
He finally got
a couple last year. They basically average between 11 to 13 interceptions a season as a unit.
I don't see
such
anybody.
Such a fickle thing, though.
Unless
I would
Noel
say.
Williams, who they do say is a ball hawk, finds his way into 4-5 rookie interceptions, same number. 12, 13 golds, probably the number. I mean, I how am I supposed to assume it's outside of that? And again, I appreciate Arrow Pride for putting out these like hypothetical numbers.
I think
because
it
helps, but like I mean, I don't see McDuffie more, man. Moving, I don't see more.
McDuffie moving back inside a little bit more because of having some flexibility, not only with Williams, but also going out and acquiring Christian Fulton, right? That should also help this a little bit.
How about points allowed per game? That's where those two stats kind of come to a head. They took a look at it over at Arrowhead Pride. They said, here's where they were on average last year. They're facing better teams, though. Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Buffalo, to name a few. Would you take over under points allowed per game at 20?
Based on the schedule that they have and some of these quarterbacks that they're going to face this year, I think I would take the over. I think I will, unfortunately. When you think about not only in their division, improved play, but they've got guys like Jaden.
Improved offensive play specifically.
Yeah, Jaden. I mean, on their schedule, look at the quarterbacks. So in the division, the same. You know, we know who those are twice a year. But you have Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels and Josh Allen. You don't have Joe Burrow on your schedule this year. You go through and you think about some of the quality quarterback play that you're going to see. That would be. It's tough because I think the secondary is going to be a lot better with the two additions that they have to it versus what they're
pass
rolling out there.
Unknown, though.
But that's the question. So I think the competition at QB is going to be upgraded from what they saw last year.
Over the last 5 years, they've allowed under 20 points per game three times. Last year, 17.9. The year before, 19.4. And 5 years ago, 19.3. But in 2017, they allowed 21.2, and in 2018, obviously, they allowed quite a bit more than that. So, like, if you start going through the last, like, 5, 7, 8 years, it kind of varies a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a little bit lower than that. It's for the last 5 years, because in 2023, they only allowed 17.3. So, really, the question is, do you think, Gold, they are going to be more like what they have been lately, or do we think that they're going to be more like where they were before?
I just want to know how much.
I'd lean under, but like that's only basing on the fact that I think the secondary is dramatically improved.
Yeah, if the secondary is what I think it could be, then an under is in play. Real quick, just going back to the quarterback stuff. I mean, this is you even think about the first half of the season, what you're facing. We know the quality of teams. So Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, then you get Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen. Those are the first 9 weeks. There's obviously a couple names in there you're not fearful of. And then on the back half, you get Bo Nix, whoever Indy is going to throw out there. I don't know, Daniel Jones. Dak Prescott, CJ Stroud, Herbert, Cam Ward, Nix, Geno Smith. So much the reason why we all think the first half of the schedule is tough, same thing. All the quarterbacks are in the first 10 weeks of the season that are really, I think, scary to you. If you talk about guys that have a potential to one day be MVPs or already have been.
Weirdly enough, probably my biggest hesitation on this is what the Chiefs face, which I talk about with other teams, and so I think I have to, and I'd be lying to myself if I didn't apply it to the Chiefs. The Chiefs 2 years in a row essentially have been one of the league's better defenses, top five-ish in each of the last 2 years. That's why they've been able to get to two straight Super Bowls, even though their offense has not been living up to their normal end of the bargain over the last two seasons. They still attended both Super Bowls and won one of those two. Defenses, man. You want to talk about aging in a hurry? Defenses fall apart so fast in the NFL. They do not sustain nearly as long as any other unit. The only thing that I think helps is Karloftis is essentially in a contract year. Minihu is in a contract year. Dana is in a contract year. So, like, they've got some guys who are, like, playing for some real juice. Trent McDuffie, if he doesn't get signed, which I hope that they pay him now, he would be playing for an even bigger number. And he's just rock solid anyway. So there does, and you know, I think Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson are playing for their job and playing for their next contract in the NFL. And so I do think they have the reason why I would say under is I still think the defense, and I'm curious if you guys feel it, I still think the defense has one more year at this level of where they've been the last 2 years. And so I still think they got one more push unless they like knock the last draft out of the park, then maybe it continues. I think they got at least one more solid year of this. One more solid year of Jones with everyone else looking like a top five defense.
As long as you still have Spags, too, I think that you have a shot at, you know,
he's
being...
He's not getting hired anywhere else, is he, right now?
No, I think he's going to be the DC throughout this entire run. Chris Jones is the question. Do you believe last year was, hey, everybody was able to keep... He was getting double and triple teamed, even though, and he was still having an impact. The sack numbers weren't there. Can he get back to having the big sack numbers? Is there one more year like that left before Father Time eventually catches up? It's different when we're talking about someone in their mid-30s or low, you know, early-30s as a lineman versus other positions. There's some positions you could be 38 and be extremely effective, right? Quarterback. But at defensive line, usually by the time, once you get to, he's got a year or two left, in my opinion, of being like Chris Jones, the dominant
Future
Hall of Famer.
Before Aaron Donald, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I know this is
they drafted a bunch of defensive linemen. Sure. Trying to find their future
Absolutely.
Answers.
I was going to say, this technically is jumping a little bit too far ahead, but given how this draft went, you know, defensive tackle-wise, does that what you guys are talking about with Chris Jones make it that need number one next offseason, whether it's free agency or anything else, defensive tackle.
Defensive line is almost the number one need every year.
In terms of replacing, getting the guy that can eventually be that replacement.
Can you tell me if Simmons is any good?
Yeah, I can't.
Because that's the number
that
one need if he stinks.
It still could be offensive line.
Oh, absolutely. There's a real chance it's still a tackle spot. There's a real chance we think it's clearly wide receiver. Let's say this year that, you know, something happens injury wise or whatever, and they just don't, it doesn't come together again. I think wide receiver could still be in play. I don't think you can definitively say 100% what position it's going to be. They haven't even got to training camp. Yeah, I get the question, but you know, I don't think defensive line will be one of those positions, no doubt, in the conversation next year. There's a chance we're right back in the same spot talking about the number one issue being protecting your quarterback again. Hopefully not, but there's a chance.
If it's not that, it will be defensive line. Almost assuredly. Unless Gelati turns into a 15-sack guy and George Karloftis is under extension at 10 sacks again, then... Not 15 sacks. That's probably an overshot, but you get the point.
And Norman Lott, actually, his production is up to the par of what they need.
Either Lott or Gelati or Felix. If somebody turned into an 8-10 sack guy and Karloftis was under an extension... Well, then maybe it's not as deep of a concern. But defensive line, I've told you, I would take a defensive lineman with one of my first, second, or third round picks. I would not go those three rounds without taking that position every year in the draft in perpetuity forever. I would never skip that position in one of those rounds. It would be an automatic. If I didn't get to it in the first, I'm getting to it in the second and the third. If for some reason I missed in the first and second, I am 100% of the time taking one of the third. That's not a position I miss on. I feel like that's a good way to win.
Did you guys see an old friend is trying to clear the air a little bit on a podcast recently?
It's nice to clear the air sometimes, you know?
A week or so ago, Kadarius Toney was on the new Rory and Mal podcast to talk about his career. And he, of course, praised Patrick Mahomes, talked about his time in Kansas City. And at one point he said, quote, "The moment I realized that, like, one practice, the man threw a crazy pass, I realized he's different. Never seen anybody do anything like that. They're not even playing an overall video, and it was on the money. But our chemistry started when I first got there. The coaches kind of made it an emphasis, like, oh, yeah, we got to make sure you all put your time to make sure everything is kind of on point because we need you right now." You took this as he was just trying to...
He'd like to be back with the Chiefs.
You think so?
I think Kadarius Toney...
He'd like to just have a job in the NFL,
Yeah. But also, he probably realized how good he had it. I don't know.
His career is, like, toast at this point.
Is there a team that would take him? The Chiefs have taken... Here's the one thing I'll say for Kadarius Toney. I think part of the reason he brings this up. The Chiefs have not exactly been unwilling to bring in former Chiefs receivers.
This is different.
Back into the fold over the last couple of years.
I hate it.
Don't get me wrong. I want this guy nowhere near the team.
He had the whole Instagram video, hacking, all of that whole thing.
He was hacked, man.
You had this.
20-17 Buffalo. They send another blitz. Selling out. Flag on the play. Might be a free one. They've got Kelce at the 30. Kelce 25. Angling back. 20. Now he's going to lateral it back at the 15-yard line. It's Toney. 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City. They mess around in practice with this all the time. It's going to go with a 49-yard touchdown. Kelce, the old University of Cincinnati quarterback.
Offside, number 19, offense, lined up in the neutral zone.
Oh,
the way that
I didn't want to hear that play ever again.
Actually,
he's like,
sorry about that. Sorry about that.
So you wouldn't welcome back Kadarius Toney with open
no,
arms?
No, don't need it. No.
I just remember people when he got
focus
traded
on
here,
the rap career.
He was getting ready
on.
To be a 700-yard wide receiver. Yeah. Former. He doesn't even have 1,000 yards in his career. Do you believe that? He is now.
I do believe it, actually.
wait, total or in one season?
Total! Man. He is at four NFL seasons, is a former first-round pick.
Yeah.
He has played in 35 games. He has started 10. His career numbers are 82 catches for 760 yards and 3 touchdowns. What the hell were they doing trying to make this a thing? Did they really tell Kadarius Toney, we need you? Need you for what?
Is his career as bad as John Ross's was? He might have a worse career than John Ross.
No. Oh, he doesn't. Drew, he did. In fact, he did
he's got
have
a better
a
shot at a rap
mass,
career. Had, text line pointed out
he had a
one.
Massive play or two to help them win a Super Bowl. To say that he has had a worse career than Justin Ross is not fair at all.
No.
Come on.
He has worse numbers than him.
I don't care. He helped. He had a massive punt return. He also
he's
had a
less
touchdown.
Less career numbers than Justin Ross.
Yeah. John Ross's numbers.
Come on.
John Ross or Justin Ross?
John Ross.
Oh, I thought you said Justin Ross.
No, I went first round bust.
That's okay.
Bengals, John Ross.
I have to look at John. That might be different.
John Ross was picked. He had 63 catches for 963 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Well, Tony got the ring, so.
I mean, it's hard to get a ring.
End all be all, but like,
we're talking about 1,000-yard career. It is not if we're talking about a guy that had a 10-year career, and when we're talking about two guys that obviously were busts.
Totally I also got to be honest. John Ross didn't win any favor here. He was pick 9 before the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes at 10. And so, like,
and let me be the person who makes the joke. He also was drafted by the Bengals, who were not in a position to win a Super Bowl.
I mean,
it helps when you're drafted by the Chiefs or when you're traded to the Chiefs.
Joe Burrow was starting.
Kadarius Toney will always
will
always say help them win a Super Bowl, man. That you cannot take away.
John Ross and Andy Dalton throwing him the football.
Big, big time moment, man. Big time moment against the Eagles.
Didn't he have a couple of years with Andy or with Burrow? He was taken in 2017. He played through 2020. When was Burrow drafted?
Much early. This was much earlier.
Burrow was drafted in 2020.
This was much earlier. John Ross was much earlier.
John Ross played as a Giant in 2021, yes.
He had the best individual season. How about we had a 7-touchdown season with 210 yards? What were they doing with John Ross back in 2018?
They were doing what the Chiefs should be doing with Xavier Worthy. They said, go deep and we'll throw you the ball. 4.42 speed, we'll just throw it up to you. And he did well.
I mean, Wells, relative. He had 210 yards. He got in the end zone.
Yes, correct.
Wells, let's not say well.
If you're in the end zone as a wide receiver, you're doing your job, I guess.
I mean, that's
in
a skill.
In some way, shape, or form. But yes, yeah, the pick before Mahomes is a tough look.
I'm just like, yeah, that. I just go back at those, and it's like the two teams, the franchises they've held down the most, all had a free crack. Not like they had to trade up. They just had to either not trade their pick and take Patrick Mahomes, pick him at 9 instead of John Ross. Every team, like specifically the teams that the Chiefs have done a really good job holding down painfully, those teams all had a free shot at Patrick Mahomes.
Wait a second. Hang on. When was Mahomes drafted? Year.
2017.
Okay.
John Ross is the player, yes, text line from the 816, who retired 2 days after Chiefs training camp.
And then he came back a couple months later and said he wants to still play.
Yeah.
Not for them, but yeah.
Chiefs training camp was too hard. He was looking for a lighter workout.
Who knows what was going on.
He might have
had some personal. You might have had some personal stuff. I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone said future Ring of Honor. Kadarius.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think he actually gets in the Ring of Honor?
No, okay. Drew, stop.
Hang on.
Let's not get carried away.
The way that you are talking about this play in the Super Bowl, I'm just saying, McCole Hartman is then, right?
No, McCole Hartman's not getting in the Ring of Honor.
You don't think McCole Hartman's getting in the Ring of Honor?
Okay. Does he have like 3,000, not even that, 2,000 career receivers?
Hang on. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about moments. McCole Hartman has
four.
He's got great moments.
Good moments.
No, he'll be here for the, like, we're doing the 10-year anniversary of this Super Bowl champion dinner. He'll be at that.
Okay. I think in total, in the entire franchise's, you know, 50-plus year history, including coaches, players, contributors, et cetera, I think they have over 50 in there, but no, come on, Drew. Come on.
I'm just asking a question.
They might as well put LRZ in there too.
I didn't say he should be
helped
in there.
He got him in shape.
LRZ provided radio shows content in the summer months.
Kept the distractions away from other players.
He should be in. I was asking if he was, or if you actually thought he was.
I do think that there's like, sometimes I wonder, because we did this argument at the Royals. I do think there's an argument of just like putting teams that win championships together as a unit.
A team, not an individual player.
Like individual players, the biggest individual players can still have their thing. But you invite everyone out for the team, and this, you know, like, but that's, you don't put them in the Ring of Honor, you just honor the team. It's the 5-year, it's the 10-year anniversary, here they are. Like, you don't have to be in the Royals Hall of Fame.
McCole Harmon, Kadarius Toney is funny, though.
McCole's got a way better argument for Toney. That's why I asked.
Cody and I are laughing too because we know deep down him and I have had a back and forth for years on Tyrann Mathieu. I'm convinced Tyrann Mathieu's getting in their Chiefs Ring of Honor one day, way down the road. I'm convinced. Much stronger case for him.
I don't even think Tyrann should get in. I think McCole. I'm not willing to go that far down the list.
I think Tyrann Mathieu gets in the Ring of Honor.
Shout out to the 913. John Ross has had a better career because he did get a ring this year with the Eagles.
Yeah, he didn't actually play, though.
You know what's going to hurt?
But he has a ring.
He didn't actually play.
Do you know what's going to hurt?
Kadarius Toney made a play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he caught a touchdown. Do you know what's going to hurt Tyrann Mathieu now? Is that Tyrann Mathieu only played 3 seasons in Kansas City.
Yeah.
By the time they're starting to do the Ring of Honor stuff, they're going to decide between guys with more rings than him. Chiefs players who had 3 years or 4 years in Kansas City, but got more rings.
Yeah, but we're acting like, though, like I understand the current number of players that have made in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. When you have the run and one of the greatest runs,
the numbers are getting ready to go up.
You're going to have more people than you because it's the greatest era of your franchise's history. So it'll seem like there's way more. And also, I'm talking about he's still playing for the Saints. So this is way, I mean, it could be 20 years from now, maybe 25, 30 years from now. I don't know.
You're saying at some point.
I think Tyrann Mathieu will make it into the Chiefs Ring of Honor at some point. Anyway, all right, let's get to what's trending as people are clowning on you. I'm sorry.
Dan Sorensen.
You guys need to relax. I didn't say
we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about the multiple moves the Royals have made since we were last on the air. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.